Father Hardin, a member of the Society of Jesus, is professor of systematic theology at the Bellarmine School of Theology, Loyola University, Chicago, Illinois. He is author of many books and articles published in the United States, Canada, and Europe. His latest book is Christianity in the 20th Century. Father Hardin is a lecturer and consultant to various national, religious, and educational enterprises. He is renowned as a retreat master and spiritual director. Father Hardin.
The title of our present conference is What Must Catholics Believe Today? The present conference follows on the preceding one with, I hope, a certain degree of logic, and corresponds to what the General Catechetical Directory calls the more outstanding elements of the Christian message. There are two ways we could approach the subject of what must Catholics believe today. One approach would be to identify an authentic source where the outstanding elements of the Christian faith are synthesized. The other approach would be to isolate the one element of this faith which implies or involves all the rest. And once isolated, to explain what this fundamental element is, I intend to address myself to both aspects. And accordingly, my area of reflection in this lecture covers two topics: the Credo of the People of God, issued by Pope Paul VI, and the Catholic Church, viewed from two separate angles, namely, what is the Catholic Church and who belongs to it? Then, after having said all of that, I will still try to add a brief conclusion by way of offering some practical implications. The Credo of Pope Paul VI. On June 29th, 1968, Pope Paul VI closed the year of faith commemorating the 19th centenary of the martyrdom of the holy apostles, Peter and Paul. On that occasion, he made a solemn profession of faith, running through 4,000 words of closely packed sentences. This credo, he said, was a reaffirmation of what every Catholic must believe if he wishes to remain in full communion with the Church of Rome. He introduced the profession with an incisive paragraph that aptly describes why we need such a credo today. I quote, "In making this profession, we are aware of the disquiet which agitates certain modern quarters with regard to the faith. They do not escape the influence of a world being profoundly changed, in which so many certainties are being disputed or discussed. We see even Catholics allowing themselves to be seized by a kind of passion for novelty and change. The church most assuredly has always the duty to carry on the effort to study more deeply and to present in a manner ever better adapted to successive generations the unfathomable mysteries of God, rich for all in fruits of salvation. But at the same time, the greatest care must be taken while fulfilling the indispensable duty of research to do no injury to the teachings of Christian doctrine, for that would be to give rise, as is unfortunately seen in these days, to disturbance and perplexity in many faithful souls. Unquote, Pope Paul. This credo is clear and plain. It is sufficiently detailed and expressed in present-day language for everyone to understand. It should be in the hands of every believing Catholic who treasures the heritage of his God-given faith. No teacher of religion, whether parent, priest, or educator, can, in conscience, afford not to know this document or have studied its content with meticulous care if he wishes to communicate this heritage of faith faithfully to those entrusted to his charge. So much for the credo of Pope Paul. It deserves to be memorized. Our second area of reflection is the Catholic Church. Remember our question: what must Catholics believe today? The answer to this question will be from the Apostles' Creed, where we say, remember, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Does it seem strange that a comprehensive reply as to what Catholics should believe is that they are to believe in the Catholic Church? Doesn't it seem like an evasion? Not at all. An accurate and in-depth acceptance of what the Catholic Church means and what it means to belong to it is, in effect, to comprehend all the articles of Christian revelation and all the mysteries of Christian revelation. Why so? Because the term Catholic is not just a convenient and sorrowfully for some an embarrassing label. It stands, as I hope to show, for all that Christ came into the world to confer on mankind. Obviously, since after all the Church is Christ, extended into space and time, what the Church he founded professes is what Christ wants its members to believe. who can improve on that logic? As I indicated before, mine will be a bifocal analysis. First inquiring, what is the Catholic Church? Then asking, who belongs to the Catholic Church? I am confident that in going through this ensemble, we shall be giving an adequate answer to the basic question of what Catholics are expected to believe, even, or shall I say, still, today. What is the Catholic Church? Presumably, the Catholic Church, in its official teaching offers, is best equipped to say what it is. At this point, we must immediately distinguish between symbols or names, which are essentially symbolic, and formal definitions. There are many good and appropriate titles or names for the Catholic Church. It is the mystical body of Christ, the people of God, the bride of Christ, the kingdom of Christ, the chosen people of the new law, the city of God. All of these and many other titles are useful and accurate as symbolic names, but they are not yet definitions, no more than the name of anything, its mere name, precisely defines what it is. To use a homely comparison, take the name automobile. It is a useful description of a machine that is movable, hence mobile, by its own power, hence autos, and not like a cart or a wagon that has to be pulled or pushed by some power outside of itself. That's why they gave the machine that name. But who would say that the word automobile defines the essential components of that complex engineering mechanism, which does, of course, move by its own power? How does the Catholic Church define itself? As a composite of its now 19 centuries of existence, the Catholic Church says it is composed of three essential elements. First, it is an assembly of people who profess the same Christian faith derived from the apostles. Secondly, who participate in the same sacraments and liturgy. And thirdly, who are loyal to the same legitimate pastors under the authority of the Roman Pontiff. This is the classic definition of Roman Catholicism that has been differently expressed at different times in the Church's history, but substantially the basic elements have remained the same. Let us look at each of these elements for a few moments to better explain their meaning. The church, we said, is an assembly of people who profess the same Christian faith derived from the apostles. What does this mean? It means, first of all, that the Catholic Church is an assembly, namely a visible society whose membership is discernible to human beings, that it is not a merely invisible entity whose participants are known to God alone, unlike, for example, the concept of the church conceived by John Calvin in the 16th century, where the church, so he said, is a society of all the predestined. Who on earth knows who the predestined are? No one. Only one in heaven knows. And that's God. This part of the definition also means that this assembly, because it is an assembly and not merely some invisible society known alone to God, has a discernible body of doctrine which those who profess to be Catholic are expected to subscribe to. It further means that this body of doctrine is definite enough to be identified and clearly expressed enough to be distinguished from its contrary. For example, that Jesus of Nazareth was truly God in human form, and that his mother Mary was a virgin before, during, and after his birth. It finally means that this body of doctrine is not a collection of theological positions, of which there are tens of thousands, or an accumulation of man-made theories beyond counting. It is a deposit of faith whose fundamental teachers were the apostles, whom Christ specially chose, and to whom he singularly revealed the mysteries of God's nature and of the divine will in man's regard. The Catholic Church, secondly, is such an assembly of believers who also participate in the same sacraments and liturgy. What does this mean? It means that the sacraments are the same as Christians had used, substantially the same since apostolic times. Let me dwell for just a moment on the adjective same. Few words in the crisis in which the church finds itself today are more important. This is a sameness of historic continuity. It means, therefore, that we can trace the sacramental system substantially, that is, in its essence, back the 20th to the 19th, on down to the first century, indeed to the apostolic age. So that the company which forms this society has a continuum which is historical, and it is our identification today with that church of yesterday and down to the day that Christ left the earth and told the apostles to teach his message. It is that sameness in participating in the sacraments and the liturgy which is what identifies the Catholic Church today. Moreover, this second basic element of Catholicism postulates participation not only in having the same sacraments, believing in the same concept of baptism, confirmation, Eucharist, and the rest, and incidentally, seven sacraments are not merely two, but it postulates an actual participation in the same liturgy, notably assistance at Mass in a corporate body, at least on Sunday, as we know was already practiced by the Christians in the first century and throughout the first three centuries of the Christian era, as we see testified by the hundreds of altars in the catacombs, especially under the city of Rome. So though the Catholic Church is constituted by believing in the same sacramental system and by people participating in the same liturgy, receiving the sacraments and assisting at a Mass, which is substantially the same down over the centuries back to the first. The Catholic Church, thirdly and lastly, is the assembly we have been describing, with its members sharing in the same sacraments and liturgy, but also whose members are loyal to their legitimate pastors under the authority of the sovereign pontiff, the Bishop of Rome. There should be no cavil about what this means. It clearly means that everyone who claims jurisdiction or authority in the Catholic Church actually enjoys it by the grace of God. And he is specially ordained for this purpose. No mere man-delegated authority in the Catholic Church. Its foundation is the sacrament of orders. Held in its fullness in the episcopates. And hence, since only Christ ultimately confers the sacraments, even though through a human instrument, it is by God that that authority, which really means authorization, which really means power, is conferred. People cannot give to their leaders what the people don't have. It also means that the bishops and priests who possess such authority have it only, and I mean only, if and insofar as they are themselves loyal and obedient to the Vicar of Christ, the Bishop of Rome. It also means that the bishops and priests who possess such authority have it only, and I mean only, if and insofar as they are themselves loyal and obedient to the Vicar of Christ, the Bishop of Rome. Numbers here mean nothing. No single bishop or conference of make it hundreds of bishops. Who or which directly contradicts the express teaching or directives of the Bishop of Rome enjoys authority in that degree or to the extent to which he or she or it contradicts the known teachings or directives of the sovereign pontiff. Positively, however, for all the faithful, the Pope is at once the keystone of the arch of Catholicism and the watershed that divides Catholic Christianity from all other forms or expressions of the Christian religion. I might add that most Protestants are clearer on this point than many Catholics. Their theologians know church history too well. They write and they do not hesitate to say, those who follow the Pope are Catholics. Those who do not are not. So much for the concept of the Catholic Church. We now ask, who belongs to the Catholic Church? There is one way to answer the question in the light of what we have just seen. That would be to say, everyone or anyone who satisfies the foregoing definition of Catholicism belongs to the Catholic Church. He is a Catholic, therefore, if, and there will be consequently three ifs. If he believes in the same faith that was professed by Christians since the dawn of the Christian era, and that was derived from the teaching of the first apostles, if he participates in the sacraments and liturgy used and practiced over this same span of Christian history, and if he is loyal to the bishops in agreement and communion with Rome, that would be a correct answer, and still is. And except for the age in which we are living, would raise no special problems. But, and this does raise a problem, two factors have entered the scene that call for careful, even subtle, clarification. The first factor is that some people call themselves Catholic, and yet quite openly do not profess to believe in the historic Catholic faith, do not receive the Catholic sacraments, or participate in the Catholic liturgy, and above all, do not wish to listen to the bishops and or be obedient to the Roman pontiff. That's the first factor that raises a problem, so that we can't just dismiss the question of saying, well, everybody belongs to the Catholic Church who satisfy the definition of, well, being in the Catholic Church. The second complicating factor has been the rise of the ecumenical movement. Do Protestants, for example, who are baptized, who believe in Christ, and honestly try to follow His teachings as they know them, do they simply and without qualification not belong to the Catholic Church?
This conference is continued on Side B.